Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Together, a pop culture academic symposium.
So true. We are the professors of pop culture.
We're smart people talking dumb topics.
So true. And that smart person is Lauren Brickman.
And that not dumb topic is Caitlin Bitzegay.
Yep. You know the deal, folks, because you've listened to all the eps by now. You're just getting to this one. And yeah, we've taught courses at the college level. We have master's degrees. And yet here we are nitpicking at the most niche corners of pop culture.
The absolute most nichest corners of the world. And if you are by chance joining us today for the first time because you saw the topic and you were like, ooh, this is my entry point, but maybe you're not sure what the word stan means, maybe you're like, ooh, I like the topic, but I don't really know what this show's about. Well, this show's about getting obsessed with something, right? We love to stan things. Most people, well, they like to stan like celebrities or, I don't know, a song or a TV show or something.
Celeb couple.
Mm-hmm. But on this show, we really like to test the limits of stand-up.
Yeah. How are you testing that limit this week, Lauren?
Well, Caitlin, I feel like you've really inspired me with some of your past stands.
Okay.
And this week, I'm standing a little place. You may have heard of it before. It's called the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Okay. I am familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you actually are a member, I believe.
Yes, we've been I to am the members a member. Lounge. I am a member, yes.
Before this show was a podcast, we sat there in the members lounge.
Yes.
Brainstorming possible themes.
Before this world was a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. In the before times. Yeah, I was like pretty sick for like a solid week. And like,
time to go out in public.
And was really deeply unwell. And finally, after 3 days of some of the most intense antibiotics I've ever been on, I woke up and I was like, oh, I'd really like to not be in my house anymore. And I'm no longer contagious. So I went to the Met and it was so much even better than I remember.
There's art there.
It's so great. There's art. Did you know they have art there? It's so great.
Totally.
And because I was really disconnected from reality for a few days, the next day I found out the Met Gala was like happening. And suddenly all of the tents that I had seen made sense.
Right.
And I got just, I don't know, I've been thinking about the Met a lot. And that's what I'm standing. But Caitlin, enough about me and my high class ways. Mm-hmm. What are you standing this week?
First of all, thank you for saying I inspired you, because some of my stands have been way worse than that. Don't forget oatmeal. But
well, you once in public in a live show said Central Park. So, you know. Central Park is adjacent to the Met.
That's true. It's not a direct correlation. Okay. But this week, I am standing the Amazon documentary LuLaRoe, which is about the rise and sort of fall of the LuLaRoe leggings empire, a multi-level marketing scam. It's funny. It's very sad at points. But I want to especially highlight a character, a real human, because it is a documentary, named Daryl Trujillo, who worked at the email customer service and also onboarding people. What a wild character. Needs his own documentary. His dream was to do volleyball refereeing. That was going well, but it didn't have benefits. He spoiler if you haven't seen it, but
Okay.
You know, the final words of the documentary are him quoting Star Trek Deep Space Nine. He talks about his desire to sit at this chain Mexican restaurant across from the corporate offices, drink his favorite drink, which he calls a cranberry and vodka, vodka mm-hmm. cranberry to most adults, but whatever. And he just wants to sit there with all his former coworkers and watch the feds drag out the heads of LuLaRoe.
This guy, now I would assume you'd have a recollection of it, but have you thought about getting a DNA test to see if this is your missing child?
I do need to look into it. He also has a little anti-Stan moment, because what's revealed in this documentary is that LuLaRoe would throw these huge corporate parties, doesn't even begin to describe them. They would throw arena concerts, and Katy Perry was one of the concerts that they threw for themselves, which what? He did not begrudge Katy Perry because it was a long time ago, but semi-recently Kelly Clarkson did one, and that really hurt him because he's a big Kelly Clarkson fan, but he can't even listen to her music anymore because of how bad he thought this was. And one of his favorite songs is one of her duets with Jason Aldean, but he can't even listen to it anymore.
No, because, but do we think that she knew what she was going to?
He feels like the writing was on the wall enough at that point. But, you know, I think that she just needs to invite him on her show.
Yeah.
They need to make peace. She needs to apologize. And I think it could be okay.
Oh, my God. That's going to get a daytime Emmy. That episode is going to get awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll be there.
It'll EGOT, actually.
It's somehow that episode of a daytime talk show will EGOT. It will break barriers. Tony. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will play him in the Broadway version. It's going to be my breakout Broadway role. It's going to be incredible. Wow. I can't wait to watch it. I've been avoiding it because, you know, we all know someone that was involved in that MLM.
If not a similar one, you know.
Yeah. I'm ready now.
It's depressing. It's depressing, but also funny.
Yeah.
And speaking of future EGOT.
Yeah. Speaking of someone who I'm sure by the end of this podcast will have emails and text messages from their team telling them that they too have EGOTed. Please welcome Zach Cherry.
Hi. This is good timing because I had seen people tweeting about LuLaRoe and I had no idea what it meant. but now I have some context. Now I want to watch this documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, the documentary is called Lula Rich. Yeah, it's a clothing company primarily famous for leggings.
Gotcha.
It's a beautiful thing that you didn't know. Most of us around our age, probably for a good 5 to 6 years, had at least one friend from high school or college that was sliding into our DMs nonstop trying to sell us leggings for several years.
When did this company start?
It wasn't that long. It was like 2012.
Oh, okay. Because I got off the Facebooks, you know, so I may have avoided the LuLaRoe era.
Yeah, because going live on Facebook is a huge way to sell the product. Yeah. Specifically Facebook, okay. Not other platforms.
I need to watch this documentary.
It's because of this company that I found out that there was a time at least when on Facebook people could add you to groups without your consent. And I was being added to groups about leggings at a rate that was alarming.
I was added to a group about seltzer once, so
I want to get in that group.
I can relate.
If you can tell me what that name was, I don't remember what it was called,
but it was just people posting like about seltzer as if it was like beer. So they'd be like, cracking open a cold seltzer like 5 p.m.
Okay. Do you have a time that we can reschedule this recording so that we can look?
Yeah, I know. It may not exist anymore.
If there was a multi-level seltzer marketing, Lauren and I would be bankrupt.
I spent $12 on a pack of seltzer this summer just so I could try a limited edition flavor. Like, we did that. We did seltzer taste test on Instagram Live.
I think that we are in this, actually. I think we're in a LaCroix multi-level marketing.
Oh, man.
At least it's a good product, you know?
Thank you. Thank you, Zach.
Well, Zach, speaking of good products, that's what today's episode is all about. Listeners, I'm thrilled. Once again, Caitlin and I have lured someone here and not explained anything.
You keep hinting at sort of a theme and that there's something going on, and it feels like a trap at this point. You use the word lured.
It's not a trap. It's a celebration. And today our theme of the episode is the Zach Cherry cinematic universe.
Okay.
That is the theme of the episode. And so, Zach, we have prepared some games and some theses to present to you and to challenge you all about your iconic, multifaceted body of work and what you have contributed to for the canon of greater good.
Okay.
It's great. But you, as always, listeners, we have our credentials. We didn't dive into this without earning our stripes. Caitlin, what's your credit this week?
My credit when it comes to knowledge of Zach Cherry, we were on a Herald team together. This Herald team, beloved.
Legendary.
But sometimes hated.
At the very least, legendary.
Known as the Mermaids. Fins up, listeners.
Yeah, fins up.
Fins up. This episode goes out to all you fins.
If you know, you know.
There.
If you know, you know. Fins up.
Fins up. Well, that's exciting. I realized today when I was doing a deep dive on Zach that my credit is that on his IMDb profile, a very silly digital project we worked on is still listed as one of his IMDb credits. The Sofa Whisperer.
Also legendary.
We played a couple challenged by their sofa.
Yeah. Is this an intervention? Or is this like
maybe for
is this
me,
like a funeral? What is happening? This feels like I shouldn't be present for this.
Oh, I get why it might feel that way, and I'm excited to see how you feel by the end. I will say another thing I discovered in terms of my credentials. I had known that this had happened once, but it appears that at least twice in my life, I auditioned for roles that ultimately went to Zach Cherry.
Wow. I knew about one of them. I didn't know that this was a multiple time.
Yeah, I learned today. So, you know, folks, in another there's a multiverse out there. And in some of them, I'm Zach Cherry, and that's a crazy thing to think about.
Well,
you know?
For the listeners out there, what was it? And for me,
the first one was Chicken Wing Guy, right, which turned out to be a huge arc on Crashing.
Yes. We've spoken about that before.
We have spoken about that before, which, you know, we don't need to. But the other one that I discovered when I was creating some content for today was that I'm looking it up so I get it correctly, but I also possibly, I think, auditioned for what was originally supposed to be a different character on the Jim Gaffigan show, because I clicked on the episode. I think it was a different character when I won it. I think that there was a change.
Could be.
I think
it was just like comedian or something.
Something like that. And now it's listed as male comedian.
Wow.
Doing my part.
Which is why I can't be sure. I can't be sure it was the same role. Because it definitively says male on your IMDb.
Yeah, I asked for that. I asked them to add that.
But the timing tracks in the episode name. Anyways. Caitlin, having been a member of Mermaids, I think it's pretty clear that we know a little bit about Zach Cherry, and you know Zach Cherry is Zach Cherry, so I think that speaks for itself. Yeah. But Zach, do you have any specific credits?
In terms of credentials, I guess, I mean, I was there for most of the stuff. I don't necessarily remember everything. But yeah, I mean, I was in the building.
Okay, well, I think our first game is going to really prove that. So we've got a game to play today, and it's called Check It or Reject It. And it's inspired by the fact that, first of all, any good journalist knows that they have to verify their facts. And so today, when I was doing a deep dive on you, Zach, I was verifying the facts. And then I remembered something that I love, a real passion I've discovered, which is Googling friends and reading the biographies that the internet writes about them. Friend of the podcast, Jonathan Fernandez, has had his age changed by the internet. And I love these facts that get out there. And so today I'm going to share with you some claims that I have found on the internet about you, Zach Cherry, yeah. and you're going to check it and let us know if it's true, or you're going to reject it and set the record straight.
Well, before we start, I'm just going to say some of this might be misinformation that I've put out there intentionally. So,
then you can keep the you can keep the lie going via this game. So you'll cement
it. We may get a few no comments in here. We may, you know, but we'll see. I don't know what what's out there.
We respect your right
to be mysterious.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we just want to assure our listeners, just want to make sure that you, in fact, are the Zach Cherry that I Googled today, which, according to the internet, is an American actor who is well known for appearances in Spider-Man Homecoming, Crashing You, and I Feel Bad.
American, yes. I guess well known for, we can quibble. I don't know if that's accurate, but the facts there seem to check out, yeah.
All right, this next one comes from smartbiography.com. They claim that while you, Zach Cherry, were a college student, you joined Mr. Gad's House of Improv, which helped you build your career in theaters and helped you to land an opportunity to perform weekly in the Keefe Campus Center.
I mean, I'd say the facts mostly check out. The sort of author's interpretation I would describe as bizarre.
That's smartbiography.com.
I'll go 60-40 on that. I did do improv in college. Okay. I'm shocked that they know the name of the campus center. And all the interpretation I would go is helped me attain. I don't know that stuff. I don't know about any of that, but.
Okay, so there's a little editorialization happening there.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Good to know. All right, this next one comes to us by way of justbiography.com, which said, aside from the acting and comedy, he always promotes humanity and always likes to live a life in peace and happiness.
That's big time reject it. That doesn't really sound... I don't think I've ever said anything like that.
Okay.
I don't like disagree, I guess, but I've never I don't think I've ever shared that sentiment.
It's not okay. Zach Cherry does not promote humanity or like to live a life in peace and happiness.
I mean, it's never come up. So
it's never come up.
Okay. Okay. All right. This next one, we're going back to smartbiography.com, which says your birthday, Zach, falls on the 1st of November every year, but he hasn't disclosed his age.
Now, this one, I mean, I've disclosed my age. Not here.
You don't have to.
My age is not a secret.
Okay. We're all trying to book. It's fine.
I don't even think that necessarily, but, you know, do I have a birthday? Sure.
Now, is it the same every year? That was the part that was curious. Yeah,
is it the same every year? Yeah. Maybe, maybe not.
Okay, that's fair. Okay. Yeah. I just found that interesting. That was a little, you know, factoid about you. So you keep the same birthday.
Because now we're starting to get into security questions.
That's true.
We're starting to get into next, I assume, social security number is going to be come up.
And can you just confirm your last Visa transaction was $37?
That was me.
Okay. Well, this next one comes from liveRampUp.com, which claims that during a young age, you thought of becoming a bouncer or working at a cat factory.
I'm going to go. This one is sort of a toss up. And I do wonder where these. Is this like a robot doing this or is this?
I think so.
Feels like it, but I'm not sure.
So some of that is from like a graduation speech I gave. Like, I think that's based but it's not accurate, so it's that's a reject check reject.
All right.
Okay. All right. Now, this one is curious because I got two different answers from two different websites. So you'll have to tell me which one's true. So once again, smartbiography.com says that you are an actor who might have accumulated a decent sum of money, but it's still under review.
It's still under review.
Okay. Yet, wikibiography.in claims that you are worth, .in, it claims that you are worth $1.5 million.
Oh my God.
So you tell me, what's true? Is it under review?
I mean, I guess neither of those is true because I have access to. It's not under review. There is some.
I guess it's under review by smartbiography.com.
Yeah, I guess that's
true. It's not for any of us to say.
So I'd say they're closer. They're definitely closer than being worth $1.5 million.
Also, wikibiography.in, is that like dot Indonesia or dot Indiana?
I don't know. I'm not gonna lie, I ended up in some weird corners of the internet.
Your algorithm.
When is WikiFeet? When do we get to the WikiFeet?
Well, we got two more. We'll see if one of them is WikiFeet. But this next one, we're going back to our buddies at liveRampUp.com.
What is that? This sounds like a concert.
Yeah,
like a
but
promoter.
Like a right wing kind of like version of that.
Yeah.
Yep. You don't realize it, but you've got like 6 months of bookings okay. on the state fair
it's like
circuit coming
Live
your way.
Nation, but like mm-hmm. for MAGA.
Yeah.
So, this one is I almost saved it for last because this is maybe my favorite thing I've ever read in my entire life. But their website claims that the day when Zach moves to Canada may take a while. But in the meanwhile, the actor is still reportedly single with no immediate plans of dating or even getting married.
Yeah, I don't really know how those concepts are related. Canada and
dating or getting married.
I don't think I've really ever discussed moving to Canada. That might be, you know, there are some other, I will say this, there are some other Zach Cherries out there.
Oh.
You know, that maybe they're talking about, you know, getting hitched right. up in Toronto or something.
Could be.
I don't know.
So are you rejecting
the
idea that you
I'm
have?
I'm going to reject.
Okay. Gotta reject.
I'm going to reject all right. that.
I think we gotta
That's
reject
a hard
that.
Reject.
Now, this last one, I have a lot of questions about. Mm-hmm. Because this next one comes from ZachCherry.com.
Okay.
ZachCherry.com claims that Zach Cherry lives in Brooklyn and you can see him perform at the UCB Theater Chelsea every Saturday night with Goat and most Sunday nights with ASCAT. You can also find him on the internet if you are very resourceful.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So
everyone head out to UCBTheater.com, Chelsea, and... on Saturday nights. When does this drop?
Next week.
Okay, so yeah. Tuesday. So next yeah. Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I haven't updated that in a while. Or I was hacked.
Okay, I think you were hacked.
For now, let's just say I was hacked, but maybe it'll eventually be the truth.
Wow. Maybe eventually it'll be the truth. I feel like that's the perfect way to put an end to this game. Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you so much,
Zach. You definitely
Zach.
Won the game. You
and definitely hey, won livebio.com. Is that the name of one of them?
Live Ramp Up.
LiveRampUp.com and SmartBio.com. If you're listening, use the quote I just said, which was maybe eventually it'll be the truth or something. Put that in there. That's real. Go to the source, okay?
There we go.
Wow. You heard it here, folks. Go to the source.
And if you're listening, go put that in there too. Put in go to the source.
And if you're listening, hack ZachCherry.com and put all the relevant info that you've learned.
Don't do that. That website is government owned. There will be retribution.
Biden is standing by.
Yeah. Okay. This is actually not a joke anymore. We're getting a call from Joe Biden right now. He's worried about Zach. We're going to go tell Biden everything's okay, and we'll be right back.
Together. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
All right, we are back. I will say this, Biden is chatty.
Yeah.
I didn't think we'd get him off the call.
Yeah. Well, he cares about my website, so.
It's nice to see him really get excited about something. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. All right, well, today I have an important thesis to present. But Zach, before we do that, I'm just going to make sure that you're prepared really give me the feedback I'm looking for. Don't worry. I'm an educator first and foremost. So I'm going to present you
with some materials. Difficult student. I was a really difficult student.
There's no such thing as a difficult student. Okay. There's opportunities to try something.
I've heard that before. And that's what, then they call my parents and go, we need to talk.
Oh man, sometimes I wish they would let me call the parents, and sometimes I'm glad I don't get involved. Anyways, enough about that. Before I dive into my thesis mm-hmm. statement today, I'm going to play you some media just to ground us in the world. Okay. So I have a short clip, and Zach, I want you to listen to the clip and then let me know if you know who this character is, where they are, and if you can sort of ground yourself and the listeners in what they've just heard.
I assume it's gonna be me based on the theme. But...
well, let's see.
Okay. Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy Clev coming at you live on the bus. I actually did take a little bit of martial arts as a youth, so I'm gonna try and grade this fight as we're going.
All right, so what was that audio clip that we just heard,
Zach? Well, now I don't mean to give notes on the selection, but if the premise is that I'm supposed to like remember who it is, in this clip mm-hmm. I literally say the name of the character and say what's up, it's your boy Clev. So maybe we're trying to start easy or something, I don't know.
You're still stalling, though. You haven't said the answer.
I mean, I did say the answer. It's a character named Clev.
Yes, but who is this person? Where are they? What are the other given circumstances?
Okay. This is a character from Shang-Chi who is on a bus and he's live streaming a fight that's happening on the bus. Mm-hmm. And his name is Clev.
Okay.
And he Clev. And I think he pretty much said all that information in the clip.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So we have that on record.
Yeah.
I have one more audio clip to play for you.
Okay.
And let's see what you can tell us about this.
You two are absolutely adorable, and I am a lonely vegan island.
What was that?
Okay, that one I do also know. But there are less clues within the audio. But that is a character named Ethan from the television program You, originally aired on Lifetime, then moved to Netflix. I want to say 2017. Could have been 2018. Hard to tell time these days. And he's in a bookstore taking a photo of, and I'll redact this part because there could be some spoilers. So he's taking a photo of, you know, some.
Yep. There we go.
And they're a couple. They're a couple.
Yeah. Okay.
But no spoilers.
Great. Well, there may not have been spoilers in what Zach said, but listeners of this show, by this point, if you haven't heard, spoilers, they happen here. Okay. Now, I will be respectful of the fact that the Legend of the Ten Rings hasn't been out that long, so you're not going to get any big Legend of the Ten Rings spoilers. But sorry, folks, You's been out long enough that if you got to just hang tight. I won't get into the nitty gritty.
A lot of people think it came out in 2017 or 18 or maybe even 16. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's been a couple of years.
It's been a couple of years, and you had plenty of time during the pandemic to watch it. So, all right. This is my thesis today. Because, you know, we're talking about the Zach Cherry cinematic universe. And when we're talking about cinematic universes, part of what's fun about a cinematic universe is that they inspire fan theories. And so today I present to you my Zach Cherry cinematic universe fan theory, which is that these two men, Clev and Ethan, are actually the same person. Not only because they were literally played by the same actor, Zach Cherry, but that the characters themselves are not two different people. And here's my pitch. Here's why I believe these two men are actually one and the same.
Great.
So our guy, Clev, he is in San Francisco. He's on the West Coast. He's in the California. Guess who else is on the West Coast? Joe
Goldberg.
That person that Zach was trying to be kind and not mention, Joe Goldberg, who is the main character on You, and who Zach's character Ethan
second main character behind Ethan.
Right.
Yeah. I agree. Of course.
In the bookstore comedy.
Yeah.
So Joe, last we heard, he was living on the West Coast. My theory is that when Joe disappeared in the darkness of night, leaving Ethan behind, Ethan got bummed out, man. He got sad. He didn't have his buddy at the bookshop anymore. So that's when he turned to the world of online, like, personalities, right? He became obsessed with going live and gaming and different things like that. And Clev's not a real name. Clev is a handle. Clev is actually short for Clever. And Clev is the online persona that Ethan created to help himself deal with the loss of his friend Joe, as well as the trauma that he had when he realized what had actually been up. Because once Joe was gone, he put all the pieces together. It blew his mind. Now, here's what I think. The last time we saw Ethan, he was still in New York. He was still in Brooklyn. He was having a good time. I think after enough time and space and with the access to his online community that he built, he got a suspicion about where Joe was. And I think he's on that bus in California because he's looking to reunite with his friend Joe.
Wow.
And now I'd like to open up to the floor to responses about why I'm correct.
It's a good theory.
So thoughts.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he wants to reunite with Joe, even though
He put the pieces together, and I think that's why it's taken so long. I also think that's part of why he's sticking to this whole handle instead of using his real name thing.
Sure, Clev.
He's clever. He's a clever guy. And I think he is feeling torn because he's like, on the one hand, my boy Joe was messy and terrible, but also he left me behind, which is actually a nice thing when we're talking about someone who was on a murderous rampage. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's probably complicated.
So he's going to say, thank you for not killing me.
Well, because let's be honest for a second.
Okay, wow.
With yourselves and with me. If you put the pieces together and realize someone you had been really close to committed several murders.
Murders, yeah.
But they had been nothing but like kind and welcoming to you and had not harmed you in any way. And when you when you look back, you go, actually, I met some nice people through them. I like got a girlfriend. My life was actually improved. It would weirdly be like a major compliment, right? To be like, wow, not only did they spare me, like this person really saw something in me.
Yeah.
You know? How does that not make you, again, it's complicated. You're like, oh, I like those other people. I don't want them dead. But like part of you has to be feeling the compliment there, right?
Yeah, I think, or you're at least happy that you didn't get murdered.
But is it the opposite? Is it like, why didn't you see in me what you saw in these other people?
Could be.
You know, and why am I not special enough?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really dark.
And that's why you got to go across the country to get those answers.
That seems a motivating factor more. Like, knock on the door. It's me.
Now, my question for your thesis is, so how does Ethan react to the superheroes?
See, I'm so glad that you asked this question. I fully believe, and I know I'm not alone in this, because Twitter has really fallen in love with Clev. And several fans out there, several fans of the Marvel comic universe, they're coming over to the Sack Cherries cinema universe, because I saw several tweets connecting the dots between Clev and your character from Spider-Man, and I saw a lot of people starting a campaign for Clev to get his own movie or a bigger role. And so I think the obvious next step, and Zach, no spoilers, I know that lots of NDAs get signed when you're working in these big movies, but I assume that within 12 to 18 months, we're going to see Clev's story, and that he went seeking answers, but what he actually discovers is the power that was always within him. And I think he ends up, I don't know if he's a guardian of the galaxy and Avenger, but that's not the universe I'm a part of right now.
Sure. Right.
I'm here standing your body of work.
My question was, I'm sort of wondering, during the first season of You, does that mean, because a lot of people say that took place in 2017 or even 2018, or even maybe as far back as 2016.
Yeah.
I think in New York City, like the Avengers were like doing stuff.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm just kind of wondering how
those timelines
can coexist. How are Ethan and Joe kind of reacting to all that stuff going on around them?
Right.
So back in the day, I don't want to offend Ethan, but he was a nerd, man. He was reading. He wasn't paying attention.
Wow.
They were lost in the books. They like, and Joe clearly was so obsessed with Beck. Like, he wasn't paying attention. So like, shit was going down, but like, they weren't dealing with
it. It's like how we have friends who'd say like, oh, you know, Lil Nas X, and they say, who? And you're like, how have you never heard of Lil Nas X?
Well, I just myself had this experience. Our We Stand Book Club has a group chat. And on the night of the Met Gala, I was told there is a pop star named Troy. I'm still feel like I'm being gaslit by an entire group of
and
people.
And I'm going to say no comment on whether I've heard of that or not.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
That's fair enough. So I think that these two times, I don't think there's anything to tell us that these two timelines can't coexist.
I think
that's my
response. I think you're spot on, and I think I think it probably even goes deeper than people are realizing. So, you know, I'll just leave it at that.
Wow. I appreciate you even giving us that much, because I know how secretive everyone's got to be. So thank you. I appreciate it.
And I will say in terms of like people saying things on Twitter, I've seen some of these tweets. Mm-hmm. You know, I notice sometimes they'll say like, oh, this is the same character as that other one. Or like this kind of is the same character. And in my head, I go, that's interesting, because I didn't really understand that when I was doing it. And I'm starting to think it may have a little to do with sort of my acting ability or I guess the fact that I look like the same human being at all times. But that's not what's happening. It has nothing to do with that. It's actually on purpose. I'm doing it on purpose. All the characters are the same on purpose.
Yeah.
So I agree.
I have not booked nearly as much as you, but things where I've gotten very far, often I realize later I did not understand the script. And I feel like that always helped. Like, I remember was down to, like, two, one other girl for this pilot. And then I was like, at the final thing, I was like, wait, that's what this woman does? I thought she, like, was a secretary. Didn't get it at all. So to me, I try to know
that might help.
Not a thing.
Unfortunately, I'm burdened with, you know, intricately planning each role and tying them together as I have.
Yeah.
Right.
Unfortunately, so you are burdened.
I can't relate to that, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was brilliant that you probably shot in like 2016 and The Legend of the Ten Rings just came out in 2021. And what to sit on that and be that patient is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. It's like Boyhood.
In a lot of ways, you are Boyhood.
It's my Boyhood.
But Boyhood, but this time he's a man.
Boyhood two.
There we
it's
go.
My Boyhood two.
Boyhood two. 5 years of adult life.
Oh wow, that one sounds like a winner. Well, Zach, thank you so much for bearing with me and going on this journey and giving me some validation for a theory that I know is nothing but correct.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up because I agree.
Amazing.
Awesome. All right. So I think it's time to play another game. It's a game I'm calling Bygone Broadway, even though it doesn't have anything to do with Broadway. I just like that Instagram account. Plug. But it has to do with New York City entertainment of the past. So Zach, you're the king of New York City show bookings. If there's a show filming in New York City, Zach's getting called in and he's probably booking. However, you haven't been around forever. Some shows were over before you were even on the scene. You didn't get that chance. So I'm going to give you a show, and you're going to tell me what kind of role you think you would have gotten called in on for this show. And Lauren, feel free to assist. You know, yeah, feel free to use Lauren as a resource. So our first show is 30 Rock. What do you think you would have auditioned for on 30 Rock?
I guess it depends when in the process, but if they hadn't cast Liz yet.
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe I could do Liz.
So Liz, you got called in for Liz.
If they hadn't cast Liz.
Yeah, if they hadn't cast Liz. Yeah.
But if they had cast Liz,
they had
probably one of the silent writers.
Yeah. I think actually for sure. No addition necessary. You would have been booked.
John Murray's ass would have been out. Your ass would have been in.
Yeah, hear that, John Murray? You would be out.
John, if you're listening.
You got nothing. All right. Yeah.
I guess I don't really remember the plot lines that much. Like.
Sure.
Like some guy who comes out of the sewer or something.
That could definitely happen. That's sort of more her Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt moments. But yeah, for sure. Which you were on. Lauren, any thoughts on Zach Cherry? I mean, I think we hit it out of the park with
Liz Lemon. Yeah, I think obviously 30 Rock starring Zach Cherry as Liz Lemon is the show I wish I had seen. But I would say I think it would have been fun, and not because I didn't think he did a great job, but get out of here, John Lutz. Let's put Zach Cherry in that Lutz
so
spot.
So talking writer.
He's a writer. Oh, yeah. A talking writer.
Wow. Talking writer. Wow. But definitely a writer. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. All right, next up. Sex and the City, the original run. We're not talking the new show.
And Just Like That.
It is called And Just Like That. Yeah, my brain won't let it seep in.
Which I assume we're going to find out you already shot like a five episode arc for that.
Well, they did need Miranda, right? Or Samantha.
Samantha. They need Samantha.
Well, you can't say it probably because of it. But the original version that ended back in 2004.
Now, I'm not super familiar with that show.
This is, you know, you have your phone a friend, Lauren Brady, but take a stab.
I guess, now, are we assuming that I am my current age when I'm cast as this?
Yeah.
Or am I,
pretty much, yeah. You know, within the last 5 years.
Because.
Yeah, you're time traveling.
Gotcha. Right.
Yeah, you're not a baby. Yeah. No, not a.
You don't need to reveal to us what age you were then, because I know you haven't disclosed that yet.
No, that's not why. So. I was just trying to, like, are there a lot of children on the show was my question.
No.
So.
No, absolutely not.
I know there's a famous plot about the Manolo Blahnik, so maybe a shoe salesman.
Oh, I love that. There is a funny shoe salesman in one of them. Yeah. That is good. That's good. Yeah. I love it. All right.
Certainly not like a main part of the plot. Definitely kind of like they interact with me for like a half a second kind of situation.
Honestly, I would have cast you as a one-off episode date for like man candy for Samantha. It's like the most like an unexpected, like she comes into like
a shoe store
and she's like, I don't know, there's just something about him, and then you're not interested in her and you turn her down and you make Samantha eat crow, and it's like a really humbling lesson for
her. I could do that.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Oh, what about Ugly Betty?
Ugly Betty, that's another one that I haven't seen every episode. Mm-hmm. So
not a completist.
Are people on that show, is it often their name is like kind of an epithet and then, or like a rude description of them? Like, are they all called like Ugly Betty and like fucked up like Jack and
No, but that could be interesting
if they introduced a second one.
Maybe I'd play like fucked up Ben or something. It's like her friend.
That could be great. Fucked up Ben, her friend.
Yeah.
From home.
From Queens.
Yeah. Her friend from the neighborhood. Yeah.
You could have replaced the original boyfriend in the very beginning.
And maybe the OG boyfriend. He works at a shoe store. Because we're in New York City. I just want to be realistic. Yeah. They exist. Shoe stores,
yeah. And Zach's got a lead on a location. He wants his friend to get a location fee.
Hey, no comment.
All right. Going way back. What about Captain Kangaroo? Okay. The children's show Captain Kangaroo.
Captain Kangaroo.
So this, you could be a kid or you could be...
If I was a kid, I would be the kid that like they have to end up editing out the part of the show I was on because I had some type of crisis where I was like screaming for my parents.
Perfect. I love that. Yeah.
All right. They would audition for that.
Well, okay. Weren't the kids just like being themselves on that show?
Yeah.
They were.
They were pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. And finally, The Good Wife.
Ooh. Now that I am very familiar with.
Uh-oh. Okay, so we're going to get a good answer.
So it depends when in the process. Because if Liz Lemon is already off the table. No, I really actually do. I know that show. I think like a judge, it would have been really fun to be a judge.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
Well,
I guess a little young maybe for the judges, but yeah, it could be young judge.
Part of it.
Young judge.
Yeah.
And that's your whole shtick, is that no one takes you seriously because they think you're so young, but you're actually older than you look. Wait, follow-up question. Now, that series continues on in The Good Fight.
Yes.
Would you want to be a young judge on The Good Fight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's still going.
So we're putting that in the universe.
Any casting directors listening?
That show, and I think if the reason I have a very New York energy, and that show's set in Chicago, so I think my presence on this is probably why they haven't reached out. Is if I was on it, it would confuse everyone. Would be like, wait, I thought we were in Chicago, but like,
well, they would probably have to make the fact that you're from New York mentioned every 10 seconds. Right. Like,
oh, yeah, done. You're a judge who looks down on Chicago. Yeah. Andrew Young. Yeah.
I'm New York young judge.
Yeah.
Who's like, he's there on like a judge exchange program or something.
Wait, now I want that TV show. I want to see the show Judge Exchange. And it's just like Wife Swap, but it's judges going to.
So the whole time it's just like, well, I know in New York the rule would be this, but I don't know.
Captivating.
And then the rule is the pizza is thin, and then they all boo you.
Sort of like a heel type on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like a shoe store.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they don't pay what they used to be a judge, so you got to supplement the income.
Well, and that's a thing that I think a lot of fans of the Zach Cherry cinematic universe forget, is that all of your work actually happens inside of a snow globe that's on the counter of a shoe store.
Correct. In Samantha's apartment.
Why does it go?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, you see a lot of stuff. Okay, that's been bygone Broadway. Had nothing to do with Broadway. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to come back with a thesis, and we'll wrap up the madness.
Stay tuned.
All right, we are back, and we are gearing up for just a little bit more chaos before we end the chaos, as Caitlin mentioned. Caitlin, you've got a really important thesis this week.
It is very important, and it's quick. So here's the thing. The only appropriate ending for beloved show Succession is for Zach Cherry's character Brian to inherit the company Waystar. Now, I've spoken previously about my ambiguous feelings about the show Succession, because I do love it, but I do think it kind of glorifies the rich. It says it doesn't, but I think it kind of does, because it makes you like root for the certain ones at certain episodes, and then you're like, no, but they're horrible too. And then like you have Siobhan, she's a woman, but then you're like, that's fake feminism. She sucks too. We need a populist ending. And of course, we all know Zach's character, Brian, that Roman, played by Kieran Culkin, meets in manager training. And Brian hits us with some amazing quotes, such as, I'm intellectually promiscuous, but culturally conservative. Mm. I'm not a big fan of culturally conservative people, but that is the type of person that's going to have to take over Waystar. Mm. Let's face that. So that's just going to be a necessary part of it. And Brian loves Waystar. You know, he loves it, considers that 1-2% of all jobs are at Waystar. Like that's, the kids don't feel that way. They don't feel that way at all. They feel trapped. Mm-hmm. They want to murder each other and themselves and other innocent people to be the head of Waystar. This is inappropriate. And in today's climate, we need to see the little guy. We need to see the little guy get ahead. And we need someone who's like walk the walk, who understands the company and its consumer base. That's the big thing. Who understands the consumer? We saw this on The Big Shot with Bethany. Sorry to bring it up, but I did. If you don't understand the consumer or you think you're better than them, get out. We also have an Easter egg, I believe, because the character's name is Brian. And then we have Logan Roy, the current head, played by Brian Cox. Now, you wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do if I'm a writer, I would not make a character the lead character's name too confusing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to piss off your lead actor unless you've gone to him and you've explained and you said, hey, there's a reason there's another Brian around, okay? Okay, Brian, do you get it? And he's like, I've signed on. This is great. And they haven't told any of the other actors. But Brian Cox knows, and I think you can see it in his performance, that he has this knowledge. And maybe they're tailing the actors one by one. I'm not actually sure. I'm not actually privy to anything there whatsoever. They've asked me to stop watching it, in fact. But that's what I think would be a good ending. What do you guys think?
I think you're on to something.
Yeah. I personally will riot if that isn't what happens.
And I don't even know if it's on a set number of seasons. So I haven't paid that close attention.
And I do want to say, I don't think you've gone far enough once again. I think, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think some of the stuff you were saying about Brian and Brian, I think, you know, if you look really closely, you know, who knows? Maybe is one character a younger version of another character from a different timeline? I don't know. Hard to say.
Okay.
I just think you're on the right track.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to follow the leads. I'm going to follow the money in this case. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because...
And Brian, if you break that down, B, business. R.
Right? R.
Roy. Roy. Roy.
I.
I. When you say
exactly,
I...
Exactly, you, which brings us back to Joe Goldberg.
Oh my God.
A.
A.
And.
And.
N.
never going to give you up because mm-hmm. all roads lead back to Zach.
Exactly.
Wow.
Brian is five letters, right? Wow. B-R-I-A-N. Mm-hmm. So five. And there are how many Roy children? Four.
Four.
And so you're the fifth. You're the fifth.
Who's the fifth?
Fifth. Who's the fifth?
Okay.
Wow. That's iconic. It's absolutely iconic. I can't believe, you know, folks, we've proven a few times in the past few months that Caitlin and I are witches that can, whether we're seeing the future or changing the future, we're not sure, but y'all heard it here. And when it happens, y'all are going to be like, damn, they struck again.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just remember the acronym. Business
Roy. I, Zach, and never going to give you
never
up.
Just remember, write it down.
Get it tattooed, fans. You know, Succession fans love a good tattoo. Zach, before we say goodbye today, are there any other, and again, we understand about NDAs and we're not trying to, you know, ask you to speak out of school, but are there any other Easter eggs from the Zach Cherry cinematic universe that we've maybe missed, or are there any exciting, is there any news you can drop or teases that you can give us about how the universe is going to be expanding? Whatever you feel comfortable and safe sharing. You just, you know, Zach Cherry fans are rabid.
Well, I will say one little Easter egg is, and this, I haven't been able to do this successfully, but there was a show that I was on, I Feel Bad, which was which was an NBC show. And I think.
Right.
Sounds right.
And I was always trying to get in there that my character was really afraid of spiders. And it wasn't ever in the scripts. And so then they, of course, always cut it out and didn't use it. But that character was really afraid of spiders. And that's something that I sort of, if you look at my performances closely, mm-hmm. you might find that I bring to the table. In other roles, so keep your eyes peeled.
Seems most relevant in Spider-Man: Homecoming.
That's interesting,
but so that's a very literalist way for me to understand it.
Is this all building towards ultimately a showdown between you and Spider-Man?
That I can't comment on.
Okay,
right.
Well, we're just gonna have to spin our wheels.
Yeah, and spider. When you think about it. S.
Mm-hmm.
Succession.
Yeah.
P.
Yeah.
Profit.
Mm-hmm.
I.
Mm-hmm.
U.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
D. Mm-hmm. Detroit City. E.
Mm-hmm.
Eggs, like spiders' eggs.
Yeah.
R. Roy.
R.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. I feel like we're in the Matrix and everything is just clicking into place.
So just, you know, something to think about.
I'm going to be thinking about it for literally the rest of my life.
Wow.
Zach, it's been such a joy to have you on here. And I also just have to commend myself for not asking you questions that I knew you couldn't answer about what it was like to be on set with Simu. And I just want everyone to applaud my self-control today. But beyond applauding my self-control, the fans that have joined the Zach Cherry cinematic universe that didn't already know that they could see you every Saturday night at the UCB Chelsea Theater, where can people find you? How can they keep up with you?
Yeah, so obviously, as we've already discussed, UCB Chelsea Theater... this Saturday night, no matter when you're listening to this, whatever year it is, head to the Chelsea Theater on Saturday night. I will be there. Other than that, I mean, I don't know. There's not really. I'm on the show. I do a voice on the show, Duncanville, on Fox.
Yeah.
An animated show, Duncanville, D.
Cool.
And then there's, you know, that one we don't have time for. you know, and eventually, and this comes out this week. So, I mean, eventually I'm going to be on this Apple TV show, called Severance, but I don't know when that will come out. So whenever you're listening to this, Google that.
Just Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Just head to Chelsea and just keep
Because they have internet there. You can get internet at there.
I think, I guess the truest thing of all is that if you want to find out about Zach, be resourceful and use the internet.
Yeah, check out the biography.com. Check out the liveRampUp.com. You know, do your own research. That's what I always say.
There we go.
And well, you know, folks, we don't really know what's in these vaccines.
You know, vaccines. Yeah. Very suspicious.
Just saying. Do your own research. See, now someone's going to add that to one of these websites that I am like a vaccine skeptic.
An AI bot is going to be all over this soundbite. Zach, it's such an utter delight to spend time with you and to be a stan of the Zach Cherry Cinematic Universe. Stans, if you've got ideas for more niche topics for us to get into, email us westandsocial@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, westandsocial, or TikTok. Slide into our DMs. We've got a Google voicemail number that you can call, text, day or night. It's posted on our Instagram because we want to hear from you. What do you want to learn about? Unlike Zach, we'll help you do the research. We won't make you do it yourself. You give us a topic, we'll research it for you. Or if you've got a topic you have researched, send us your materials. We'll sort through it.
And if you're a fan and you want to be on the show, just reach out and just say, just kind of reach out with your info. If you want to be on, I think they're doing Fan Month pretty soon coming up. So you have the info there.
Yep, I think that wraps it up. You can find us, you know, at WeStandSocial. DM us your phone number, and we'll just add you to the Zoom.
We've absolutely jumped the shark. Bye!
Bye!
That's bye to them, right? Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan. Now the Backstreet Boys are all grown up with their own reality. Cue the outrage. Professors, pencils down, smart people, dumb topics forever.